Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Remember a year or two ago when passwordless authentication for websites was all the rage? News articles from the time proclaimed that passwords were dead and that passkeys and related technologies were clearly the future. Well, what happened? From what I can tell, a lot of people gave passkeys a try, hated them, and went right back to using passwords. To be fair, passwordless authentication for mobile lock screens and mobile payments did become a reality in the form of biometrics, but passwordless authentication on the web never really caught on outside of OAuth. It turns out that if you want to disrupt something as ubiquitous as passwords, you need to offer a solution that is way better. Not just a slight improvement, but a full step function better. And in the minds of many users, passkeys didn't reach that bar. That being said, the problems that led to the creation of passkeys haven't magically gone away. Passwords still have some major issues. Data breaches are still a problem. Phishing is still a problem. Brute force attacks are still a problem. Having to either memorize passwords or centralize them in a password manager is a problem, etc. So the impetus for a password replacement still exists. These problems are still looking for solutions. Over at the University of the West of England, researchers have created a proof of concept for a new passwordless auth system that they say addresses a number of the issues above. They call it Sesame Auth, or SA for short. It combines push notification, public key cryptography, steganography, which we'll go into later, and biometrics to create a system with a few key benefits. 1, no passwords to memorize. 2, no passwords to store on the server side, so nothing to hack. 3, no extra hardware to use. 4, no vulnerability to phishing, man-in-the-middle attacks, or key logging. Let's take a look at what they built. From a bird's eye view, there are a few moving pieces. The Sesame mobile app that you download for your iOS or Android device, the Sesame server, a hosted backend that the app communicates with, a cloud database where the Sesame server stores its data, and a library or SDK that websites use to allow their users to sign up and log in with Sesame instead of a password. So just to be clear, this system only works if 3 things are all true. 1, you have downloaded or are willing to download the Sesame Auth app. 2, the website where you want to register supports authentication via Sesame Auth. And 3, someone, either the website or a third party, is running a Sesame Auth server and both you and the website trust that server. Side note, the way this was proposed in the paper, it sounds like there would be a single Sesame server operated by the same entity who published the app to the app stores, but there doesn't seem to be anything about the system or protocol that would require that to always be the case. Okay, so to get a good idea of how Sesame would work, there are 4 main user flows that you'll need to wrap your head around. App setup, adding a new website or login to Sesame, logging into a website with Sesame, and account recovery if you switch devices. Let's go into app setup. After you download the Sesame Auth app, which is just a React Native app, by the way, you'll pick a username and then it will ask you to enter your email address several times, like 3 times or more. This is not so it can store your email. It's actually using this prompt to analyze your typing patterns. This concept, called keystroke dynamics, is a biometric that has been around for over a decade. To implement this idea, they're using a library and service called TypingDNA. The library collects the typing pattern, sends the data to TypingDNA, and gets back a typing ID. This typing ID is a fingerprint that, in theory, identifies you regardless of the mobile device that you're using. Keep this all in mind when we get to the account recovery procedure later on. For now, just know that they take this typing ID and embed it in the public key that the mobile app will use to communicate with the Sesame server. All right, adding a new login. So now you've set up the app, you can register on a website that supports Sesame Auth. When you're on such a website, you click to register and they ask you to choose a username. You choose a username and you click to submit. The website sends your new account request to the Sesame server. The Sesame server generates an app download link and returns that to the website. The website displays the download link to you and you click it. Assuming you've got the app installed, it opens and prompts you to do something weird. Instead of creating a password, it'll say, upload an image. It can be any image you have on your phone. Then you'll see a prompt to complete any biometric that is built into your device, like fingerprint. Then the app will now give you back another image, To the naked eye, the image that it's giving back to you will look exactly like the image that you just uploaded, and Sesame will tell you to store that image somewhere on your phone. Wait, what? Yes, it's weird. The whole thing is weird, but it will all make more sense once we get to the account recovery flow in a second, so just bear with me for now. Those steps is how you set up a new login on Sesame. Logging in. So at some point in the future, you come back to the website and you try to log in with Sesame. Now the website will ask you for your username. You enter it, and then the website shows you a 6-digit code. About half a second later, you'll get a push notification on your phone. You click the push notification, and it opens the app, and the app says, enter the 6-digit code you see on the website. You enter the 6-digit code, and you're logged in. Okay, seriously, hold on. What? You're right to be confused. From the description of the login mechanism above, this sounds like a push notification login. And it is. So you might be wondering, what was the point of the typing ID thing, the upload an image thing, the download an image thing, if I was just going to be able to log in by them sending me a push notification and me entering a code? Let's walk through why all those extra pieces exist now. Account recovery. Let's say you switch phones, or even lose your old phone. You'll be able to recover your Sesame Auth account and all the logins, assuming two things are true. One, on this new device, you still type the way you did on the old one. If we assume that the concept of keystroke dynamics is real and robust, then we can assume that this is true. Two, you have a copy of all the images that they gave back to you when you created each login. If you have your images auto-backed up to the cloud somewhere, then we can assume that this is also true. When you were creating your web login and you uploaded that random image, Sesame embedded information in it using a technique called steganography, specifically LSB, least significant bit steganography. The API request that the mobile app sent to the Sesame server included the image that you uploaded, your typing ID from way before, and your public key. So when you were creating this login, the Sesame server encrypted your typing ID with its own private key and then embedded your device's public key and the encrypted typing ID in your image using LSB and then returned the modified image back to you. So here's the point. Now you're on a fresh device and trying to recover your account. If you upload that modified image, the image that they had given back to you way before, if you upload it now, the Sesame server can look at it and can verify three things. One, your original typing ID from your last device. Two, the public key from your last device. And three, the fact that this Sesame server was the server who verified or signed that login in the first place, since the typing ID that's embedded in the image is encrypted with this server's private key. If you then, after uploading that image, now provide a new typing ID that is a close match to your old typing ID, Sesame has the confidence that you're really you, and allows your new device to take over the account. Hopefully that clears everything up. The system seems overly complex at first, but it's actually fairly straightforward. Instead of passwords, you have push notifications. Instead of security questions, you have a typing ID biometric. And instead of backup codes, you have images stored on your device that have data encrypted and stored within them. That's it. So, how did this new system do in the wild? How did users react to it? Did they understand it? Did they like it? Well, that's where this research kind of falls apart. Sesame Auth is so new that it's still basically untested by anyone other than the authors, so we can't really answer any of those questions. Instead, the authors chose to evaluate Sesame Auth through the lens of a framework developed by Bonneau et al. In a study from 2012. The Bonneau study lays out a framework for evaluating passwordless systems based on usability, deployability, and security. For usability, the framework looks at how effortless the system is, how easy it is to learn, and how infrequently errors occur. For deployability, the framework looks at how accessible the system is, how costly, how open, how mature, and how cross-compatible it is. For security, the framework looks at how resistant the system is to observation, impersonation, guessing, phishing, and theft. It also looks at how privacy-preserving the system is. After an analysis, the authors concede that Sesame falls short of some of the key benchmarks here, leaving room for improvement. Overall, they had the following to say about Sesame's viability. Quote, We submit that the benefits offered by the system are adequate to position it as a feasible passwordless authentication system." End quote. That may be so, but my question is this. Is feasible really the bar here? Is adequate what we should be shooting for when envisioning a new system that could replace passwords as a whole? Or, as I said at the beginning, is widespread adoption of such a technology possibly contingent on it being an order of magnitude better than any other alternative? I'll leave it to you, the listener, to decide where the bar is and whether or not these authors have met it. Regardless of whether you think this idea is half-baked or revolutionary, the authors do unearth a few technologies you may want to look further into or incorporate into your own work. If you're working on a different passwordless system, you should definitely review the evaluation framework by Bonneau et al. It's reference number 2 in this paper. If you're intrigued by the concept of keystroke dynamics, check out Typing DNA or read the manuscript by Jadav et al., which is reference number 3 in this paper. If steganography is something that you're interested in, the paper by Taha et al., reference number 27 in this paper, is a good place to start. And lastly, if you think Sesame itself is interesting, or if you just want to dive deeper on some of the parts I glossed over, like the public key certificate exchange or the stacks and libraries used in the server-side application, then definitely download this paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.